Receive it with joy. Father, it is an honor to be gathered here together in the name of Jesus. Father, we just bless you. We glorify you. We know that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Father, we just bless you tonight. We come before you in that name. We know that we are heard in that name. Father, we are redeemed in that name. We are healed in that name. Father, we are fully provided for. Father, we thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We magnify you. Father, you are holy and good. And Lord, we're going to receive your word with joy. We're going to be doers of it. Father, we're going to receive it and believe it. And Father, we thank you that the Holy Ghost, he reveals and unveils the word of God to us. Father, we know that we cannot just hear a book report. We can't just get information here tonight. Father, we ask for revelation. Father, we ask for truth that is imparted into our hearts, that changes us from the inside out. Father, we're just going to be sincere about it. We're going to receive it with joy. Father, we humble ourselves. Father, if we need to be taught, we'll be taught. If we need to be corrected, we'll be corrected. Father, when we're encouraged, Father, we rejoice. And Father, we just bless you tonight. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Are you ready for the word of God here tonight? Oh, good. Well, we're excited to receive it. Amen. We know that the word is what's going to change our lives. Amen. Well, go with me in your Bibles. I'll have you get ready in a couple places. We're going to go over to Proverbs chapter 20 here in just a moment. And then also after that, we're going to head on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So if you want to get those two openings ready. And tonight I'm going to call this message, How to Hear God's Voice in Your Life. Here we go. I've been telling you for weeks that we were going to get to this point. We were going to talk about the practical biblical ways of how we recognize God talking to us in our lives. Well, I said this in the text message here today, that God is talking to us all the time. He is always speaking. The question is, are we in a place to recognize his voice? Do we know how to hear his voice? Do we know how to understand these things? And so we're going to get into that here tonight. And we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 20, if you want to head on over there. And then we're going to just be going through several scriptures here tonight. Is it okay if we study the Word of God here tonight a little bit? It is going to be a little teachy. I'm going to give you a heads up, you know. We do have the verses on the screen. Of course, we always encourage you, bring your Bibles to church. If for some reason you didn't, we just want you to see that, you know, what we teach is out of the Word of God. You know, it's important that you don't receive man's opinion. You know, you don't just receive, you know, from, you know, someone's ideas. You want to receive from the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do so by the ability that God has placed in him, that God would get all the glory. Amen. Go to Proverbs chapter 20, and we're just going to jump right in. We're going to talk about three ways that you hear the voice of God, or that helps us to hear God's voice in our life. And number one, we're going to just start right here. We need to be spirit conscious. Spirit conscious. All right, spirit conscious. Now, tonight we're going to use, you know, the word conscious here, but we're also going to talk here in a little bit about our conscience. How many of you know there's a difference there? You know, it took me a little while to realize the difference, right? I'm kidding, but we're starting with the word spirit conscious, which means to be aware of what God is doing in our own spirit. Now, a lot of times we talk about being Holy Spirit conscious, which we should be conscious and aware of the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know the scripture says that we as human beings have a spirit? That meaning, or let me say it even more accurately than that, we are a spirit being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body, all right? And we're going to get through that here, but we need to first, you know, The word spirit sometimes in the Bible is synonymous with the word heart. All right, it is the center of your being. We are spiritual beings. Every human being was born with a spirit. And, you know, human beings are eternal beings, all right? You know, every human being will live forever, so to speak. It's just a matter of where and how. Well, let me correct that statement, make it a little bit more biblically accurate. We will either live forever in a place called heaven, or we will die forever in a place called hell. Because really, it's not called life. Hell, it's not called life. It's called eternal punishment. It's called forever death. And that doesn't mean that you're just sleeping or you're just in the ground like some teach. No, Jesus made it very clear. Hell is a real place. But we've got good news. Heaven is a real place. Amen? Amen. Aren't you glad that heaven is real? Jesus said, if you'll believe upon him, he says, I go and prepare a place for you that wherever I am, you may be. And trust me, we want to be there, right? But human beings, the way I should have said it, is human beings will exist forever. It's just a matter of where and how. You've got two alternatives. Make heaven your home. Amen. Amen. And now let's go to Proverbs 20. And we're going to go to verse 27. And this is something that we're, you know, going to talk about here for a few moments. You know, we need to remember, you know, a lot of things are said in our society and in our culture. And a lot of times we hear this, you know, said around, and we've all said it, and we're not trying to pick on anybody. I've said it. We've all said it. And sometimes we'll make a mistake or do something that we shouldn't, and we say, well, we're only human, you know, as Christians. Well, we're only human, you know. But you know what the fact of the matter is? We're not only human. You know, biblically speaking, we're not only human. All over the New Testament, Jesus said, the kingdom of God will be in you. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he, God, who's in you than he that is in the world. We are God indwelt. We have to remember that the Lord lives in us. His spirit lives in us. Amen. And so we're not just some natural, you know, human only. And don't mistake me what I'm about to say, but I think sometimes we have a way of focusing too much on the mistake side, or always talking about how prone to error we are. But you know what? With God living on the inside, we don't have to miss God all the time. We don't have to make mistake after mistake after mistake. We can be led by his spirit. We can obey his word. Yes, of course, we've all made mistakes. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes, Christians, we focus more on the error-prone nature of man when we should be focusing on the supernatural element of Christians that have God living on the inside of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, if you'll believe upon me, he said, my Father and myself will come and we'll make our home with and within you. Amen. All over the New Testament, it tells us that God lives in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we need to remember the supernatural element of what it means to be a Christian and who lives in us. And the scripture says that we are a spirit being that God communicates with. Look at this, Proverbs 20, 27. It says, the spirit of man, not the spirit of God, not the spirit of an angel, all right? Let's talk about the spirit of man or a human being. It's talking about mankind. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Or literally, I have the New American Standard Bible, a more modern translation might make a little bit more sense to us. It says, God is searching all the center of our being. All right. And so notice this. It says, the spirit of man, or the spirit that God, you know, gave you, you were when you were made, you know, when he created you, is the candle of the Lord. That word candle means lamp. That is where God is shining his light, and God, it says, searches all the inward parts of the center of our being, right? That's what that word belly means there. It just means the center of our being. You know, maybe you've heard someone say this. You know, have you ever been, you know, maybe driving in the summer or in the winter? Maybe you're heading into a big snowstorm in the winter. Or maybe you see, you know, a dark clouds on the horizon, a lot of lightning in the, you know, up in the distance, and you're heading right into it, and you say, oh my goodness, we're heading right into the belly of the beast. How many of you have ever heard that expression before? That just means you're moving right into the center of it, right?
Well, that's what the scripture says. God is searching, or literally communicating with the spirit of man, which is the center of our being. Here in a few moments, you're going to see in the scripture, this is not the same as your brain or your mind. God is not communicating with your brain. You're going to see that the brain or the mind or the soul of man has to be renewed all the time. How many of you have had stinking thinking going through your mind? How many of you have had thoughts just, you know, burst into your mind and you're thinking, where do these thoughts come from? How did that get there? Right? Well, see, and you can have bad thoughts even as a Christian, because the Bible says that we have to be renewed in our mind if we're going to be transformed. So if you've had stinking thinking before you were a Christian, you can have stinking thinking after you're a Christian. You know, and the Bible says that we have to learn to renew our mind, cast down thoughts and imaginations that are wrong. How many of you know you can't trust the brain? How many of you know you can't obey every thought that jumps into your head? You know, oh my goodness. Have you ever just, you know, had a storm going on up in your mind and you think to yourself, wait a minute, I've got to put that aside. If I start obeying that, it's going to, you know, lead to a lot of trouble, right? So I want you to see that when the Bible says this over and over, the spirit of man, that is when God created you. You are an eternal being. You will exist forever. And God is communicating with the center of your being, called your spirit. Go to the New Testament now. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Are you here tonight? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, meaning that's the light of the Lord. That's the lamp of the Lord. God is communicating. He's looking into our spirit, all right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 9. A lot of times we hear this verse being read at funerals. And a lot of times we think that this verse is referring to heaven. Well, I've got some news for us all tonight. This verse is not talking about heaven, all right? And we're going to put it into context of what Paul, the author of the verse, of course, by the Holy Spirit, what he was saying. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen," that's your physical eye, "nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man," the Greek word there is the mind of man, "the things which God has prepared for those that love him." All right. How many of you love God here tonight? Okay. You love God. God has prepared things for you that your physical eye hasn't seen. He hasn't, you know, he's prepared things for you that your physical ears and your physical mind cannot conceive, right? All right. And now when we hear that verse, sometimes we think, all right, he's talking about the glories of heaven. He's talking about just everything that we will get in the sweet by and by. But this verse is not talking about what God wants to reveal to you in heaven. It's talking about what he wants to reveal to you on the earth. How do we know that? Look at the very next verse. Look at verse 10. It'll tell us exactly. "But God has revealed them." What has he revealed? The things that eye can't see, ear can't hear, and your mind can't, you know, receive, right? He's revealed them to you. So this isn't something that's going to happen in the future. Revealed is past tense. He's already done it, all right? So God has revealed these things that you can't see, can't hear, your mind can't understand, unto us by his Spirit. Now notice that's the capital S, that's by the Holy Spirit, all right? "For the Holy Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God." How many of you know your answers are in the deep things of God? How many of you know your needs are in the deep things of God? It could be deliverance, you know, in the deep things of God, healing in the deep things of God, answers for your life. Maybe, you know, the right relationships, breakthrough, getting your life restored, you know, getting things on track. How many of you know we need to get a hold of some of these deep things of God? Well, if the Holy Spirit is searching the deep things of God, how is he going to communicate those things to us? Look at verse 11. Look at what it's talking about. "For what man knows the things of a man?" It's talking about people. It's not talking about the male gender. It's talking about humankind. "For what person knows the things of a person except the spirit of man which is in him?" All right. How will you know the things for your life except it comes through your spirit? Look at it. Even so, the things of God, nobody knows but the Spirit of God. Well, there's good news, because the Holy Spirit wants to talk to your spirit and communicate those things to you. Amen. Look at the very next verse. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit, which is of God, that we would know the things that are freely given to us of God. God is not playing hide and seek with the things that I can't see, right? Ear can't hear and mind can't conceive, all right? God is playing show and tell. You know, he's trying to show us and tell us in, you know, all the things that he has freely given to us. And notice, we have been given a spirit. Notice, lowercase s. We've been given a brand new spirit made in God's image that knows how to communicate with the Holy Spirit so that we can know what God has for our lives. Amen. You could say it this way. Your spirit is the radio beacon of God. Your spirit is the antenna in which God is speaking to and through. Amen. When we got washed in the blood of Christ, when we were made in his image, and when we became born again, we became capable of hearing God's voice. And I'll tell you what, this should be our greatest desire in this life, to hear what he's saying to us, obeying what he's saying to us, because he says your eye cannot see it, your mind can't imagine it, your ear can't even hear the things, how good the things that God has for you in your life. Look at verse 14. I wasn't planning on going there. Can you drop down to verse 14? I wasn't planning on going to this verse. It says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. What's your natural man? Just your human flesh? Or people that live in the flesh? Or people that just obey the flesh? All right? The natural person, meaning the person that doesn't understand that they're actually a spirit being that can communicate with God. Are we here tonight? It says, for the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Meaning, if we don't become spirit conscious, if we're just only flesh conscious and brain conscious, I'm here to tell you, we will not receive the things that God has revealed to us. For they, the things that God has for you, are foolishness to the natural body. That's what it's talking about. Neither can you know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned, or literally spiritually revealed, or spiritually understood. So what this means is God is not, you know, revealing things to your flesh. He's not revealing things to your mind. He's revealing things to your spirit. Are you here tonight? Folks, get a hold of this. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans. Drop back to Romans chapter 8 really quick. Is it all right if we teach the word here tonight? Ooh, praise the Lord. The deep things of God, he wants to share with me. I tell you what, that's who the Holy Ghost is. He's the secret teller. He's trying to tell you the secrets that God has for your life. Amen. He's trying to tell you, if you're unmarried, he's trying to tell you who the best person is for you. He's trying to tell you the best job for you. He's trying to tell you what the best, you know, church is for you. He's trying to, you know, lead you and ultimately in what would help you have the most influence in the kingdom of God to bring as many souls into heaven as possible. Amen. There's things that God, you know, has for you that you could have never concocted on your own. I'll tell you what, that's the story of my life. I never thought that I would ever be a pastor. I'd gone to college to be a school teacher, and I was a school teacher for 4 years. You know, but the Holy Ghost spoke to me and told me that there would come a day when I was actually a pastor. There was a time I left. My ears, my eyes, and my mind would have never conceived ever such a thing, right? But it was revealed to me through the Spirit of God. And at the time, I was praying. I was seeking him. I was desirous for his plans and his purpose in my life. And that became spiritually aware to me. There was things in my life that I really loved to do that God shut down. You know, you've heard the stories, you know, and I was trained, of course I was a school teacher, but that school teacher, I became a school teacher so I could afford to buy an old sailboat that I would fix up, and then I would hit the ocean, and I was going to sail, you know, across the ocean. That was going to be my life. That was, and when I met my wife, I really, really liked her. And I remember telling her, I was like, she heard about my plan, and she's like, oh, well, you know, what about us? And I said, well, you either can come with me or you can stay here. That's how selfish I was. You know, that's, I was like, I'm going. That was what I had for me until the Lord, you know, dealt with me and communicated with my spirit and said, sailing, you know, I'd gotten trained. I was a captain of, you know, 51-foot charter boats and all this stuff. And he said, this is not what I have for you in your life. This is not what you what I have for you. And I cried. But I like it, God. And I remember I was just a new Christian. I was doing everything I could. And I was like, God, I promise if you just let me, you know, work on sailboats, I'll read my Bible every day on that sailboat. I'll read my Bible every day on that sailboat. I'll pray every day on that sailboat. Oh, my goodness. I had a little bit of a Jonah experience right down here at Presque Isle. I had sailed my boat down from Dunkirk and sailed into Presque Isle, and I stayed there for a week. And, you know, the second night I was there, a water spout came off Lake Erie and hit my boat. And I remember all the lightning. It was really crazy. My boat got thrown into the marsh. It got thrown into the cattails. And it was like, you know, I was having a Jonah experience. I was the inside of that boat. Okay, you could not count to 1.5 before there was another lightning bolt. And, you know, it's no fun when there's lightning flying around and you've got a 40-foot aluminum mast right over your head. And I remember the wind, and I watched that water spout come right in, hit my boat, and watched it go right into downtown Erie. It was the wildest thing. Anyway, and I was in that boat, like, you know, crouched up in a fetal position, staying away from, because the mast had a center post that came right down through the center of the boat. And I'm just staying away from that, and I'm just in this fetal position in the front berth. And I was like, all right, God, just please save my life. You know, please save my life. And then the boat ended up got thrown into the weeds. I was like an aerosol marble. You know, you ever seen an aerosol paint can with a marble? I was the marble inside that boat. And it was amazing. I came out of the boat. The boat's on its side, laying in the weeds. And I'm thinking, I'm perfectly fine. This is wonderful. You know, I finally got my boat out into the open water again. I went right over to the marina. I hadn't gotten injured at all. And as I'm climbing off the boat, I slip and smash my head on a rail that was right there. And I'm not saying that God did that to me. But needless to say, it was like I knew I was running from the voice of God in my life. And sometimes to obey God's voice, you give up your own plans. Give up your own so-called dreams, right? Amen. Praise the Lord, because he's got things for you, and one of those things is to bring souls into the kingdom like you've never done before. Amen. Are you here? But it says the natural person, or the person who is not spirit conscious, cannot receive these things. If you're just aware of the natural man, this is your natural man right here, the flesh. The flesh is not a conductor for the voice of God. Your mind, your brain is not a conductor. You know what I mean by a conductor? It's like God's power is like electricity, and it's looking for a conductor to flow through. It's not your flesh. It's not your mind. It is your spirit that he's looking to talk to. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans 8. Go to verse 14. Are you getting something out of this? Spirit conscious. So we're going to talk about how do you become more spirit conscious. God's talking to you in your spirit every day. And sometimes, let's face it, I mean, most of the time, God's people are not hearing what he's saying. We don't know how to recognize it. Look at this. Look at Romans 8:14. It says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Okay, now don't get confused with this. Jesus is called the Son of God, all right? But how many of you know the scripture says Jesus led many sons unto glory? And for ladies, just so you know, you're not left out here. Sonship has nothing to do in this verse about being a male or a female. It's for every man and woman who calls upon Jesus Christ as their Lord. And if we will be led by the Holy Spirit, we will be called the sons and daughters of the living God, all right? So what is God looking to do in our lives? He's looking to lead us. He wants us to be spirit conscious. He wants us to, you know, be sensitive and tender in our spirit to hear his voice. In the Old Testament, it was called the still small voice. Remember that with Elijah? How many remember that? You know, and he said God was not in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. But then after all that, the still small voice spoke to him. Amen. God is not, if he's got a, you know, a stubborn horse is a horse that you've got to pull the reins on. Oh my goodness. When I was a young man, my mom decided, and I don't know, she grew up on a farm and stuff and had horses and all this, but we grew up in town, but she decided to get a horse and board it outside of town, and she tried to make me one of those little equestrian, is that the right word? You know, and she bought me this weird little helmet hat and this outfit. I'm like, I ain't wearing that. Now, if it's a dirt bike or a four-wheeler, I'm game, you know. But, you know, she tried to, you know, put me on that horse. I just never liked it. I never trusted that horse. I just always felt like this. I want to be the only brain on there, you know. That's how I, when I'm riding a motorcycle, I'm the only brain on the, in the whole mix, you know. Praise the Lord. But anyway, later on in life, too, I rode some horses. And a stubborn horse is a horse that you've got to pull the reins, you know, real tight. And you've got to, you know, jerk on the reins and try to get him to do that. But a well-trained horse is a horse that you just barely give a little nudge on that side of that bit in his mouth, and the horse will turn the right way. God doesn't want us to be stubborn horses. He doesn't want to have to get loud with us. If God has to shout to get your attention, that's because we're not sensitive on the inside. If God has to speak to you in huge visions and big dreams, and if he has to write, you know, it across the sky, if he has to send an angel to talk to you, it's probably because we're not sensitive enough to hear what he wants to say to us on the inside. Are you here? That doesn't mean you can't have an experience like that, but if that's what we demand out of God, see, sometimes Christians, we make this mistake. We tell God, we say, hey, show me a sign. Show me, God, give me a sign. There's just one problem. Jesus said, a wicked generation asks God for a sign. We are not led by signs. Do you know that? We are led by the Spirit of God. He doesn't give you a sign. That was the Old Testament because they didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of them. Gideon, he had to put out a fleece just to try to figure out what God wanted to do. Remember that? He said, well, if the fleece is wet in the morning, or if it's dry in the morning, if it's on the ground, or if it's up on the stump and all that stuff. Remember that? Because he did not have the voice of the Spirit on the inside. But we do. And this is what the New Testament says, as many as are led by the Spirit, as many as are sensitive and tender and spirit conscious, God can lead them like a father leads his sons and his daughters. Look at verse 15, and how do we do this? For we have not received the Spirit. Everyone say Spirit. Notice that is the lowercase s. Whose Spirit is that talking about? We have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but we received the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The lowercase Spirit is talking about our spirit, and in this case, it's talking about our spirit before we knew Jesus. Before we knew Jesus, we had a spirit of bondage to fear. But now we've been adopted by God through Christ. And now we cry out with our spirit, Abba, Father. So what, if you're born again, what is going on the inside of your spirit? Your spirit is saying, Father, Father. Father, I want to obey you. Father, I want to trust you. Father, I want to please you. I want to follow your plan. See, your spirit is crying out to obey God. But this thing, the brain, and this thing, the flesh, gets in the way. Is everyone paying attention here tonight? Because on the inside, you've got a spirit that's crying out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. That means, you know, the word Abba just means Father. Right? Father, Father. I want to obey you. I want to please you. Glory to God. It's time that we start listening to that on the inside, start obeying that. Amen. Why? Look at verse 16. It goes on to tell us again, for the Spirit himself, that's the old school King James. If you have a modern translation, it's himself, because the Spirit is a him, not an it. The Spirit himself bears witness with what? Wait, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with what? Our spirit. So notice there's a difference between the Holy Spirit and your spirit. But the Holy Ghost communicates with your spirit. The question is, are we conscious of it? Are we aware of it? Are we listening to that? Amen. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the child of the children of God. How many of you are saved and you know it? Yeah, amen. Because you know that because the Spirit is bearing witness to your spirit. So what is the Holy Ghost? This New American Standard Bible says the Holy Ghost testifies to our spirit. Testifies, meaning he speaks of true things. Or literally, boy, I wasn't planning on going there. Brother, can you bring up John, where is that verse? 16:13? Look into my scholars. John 16:13. Can we try to bring that up? Remember what Jesus said the Holy Ghost would do? Amen. Remember, he told us that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. Amen. Jesus speaking, he says, however, when he, that's why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. Everyone say truth. See, this is the Bible word. If you study that Greek word truth, it's the word that we use in the English, reality. Reality. He's leading us to God's reality for us. All right? How many of you know God has a plan for your life? I want to be in that reality, not my own. My own plan, my own reality is going to mess things up. And Jesus said, he, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all reality because he, the Holy Spirit, won't speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear from God, that shall he speak. And he, the Holy Spirit, will show you what? Things to come. Does that sound a little future? Does that sound like the Spirit of God can start giving you pictures of what your future might look like? It doesn't mean he tells you everything. But how many of you know that's supernatural? See, it was September the 8th of 2005 when the Holy Ghost told me that I was going to pastor. First of all, it was July 30th of 2003 when I was reading Psalm 103 at my little apartment in Brockton, New York. And, you know, the Spirit of God, you know, spoke to me and said, you will have a pulpit ministry. And I thought to myself, you know, what in the world, you know? And so I thought, okay, what does that mean? You know, what was that? He was just showing me little bits of things to come. And then later on, you know, September of 2005, and I was a school teacher, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, this is your last year. This is your last year as a school teacher. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I told my wife, and that job was hard to get. And my wife said, no, go in and start praying until he tells you something different. You know, of course, she's, you know, on board with the plan of God. Oh my goodness. And, but how did I hear that? When I say I heard the voice of God, it was in here. It was in my spirit as I sought him. And then those were what? Little bits and pieces of things to come. How many of you know that's supernatural? How many of you know that you have a supernatural relationship with God? And I'm telling you, we should seek him and hear his voice. And we should have a spirit of seeing and knowing. It doesn't mean we know everything that's going to happen tomorrow. Don't try to, you know, say you're going to know everything that happens. Sometimes people take this way too far. But as you seek him, he'll give you little bits and pieces. Amen. Why? Because we're spirit conscious. Spirit conscious. Are you getting a hold of this? Well, praise the Lord. Can you turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Here we go again. See, Pastor, this is a lot of verses. A lot of verses tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Here we go. The scripture again, over and over, tells us that we are a spirit being. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you. That means sets you apart. Have you been set apart? Yes. Do other people know that too? Let's hope they do. Hopefully they can see why we're different in this life. Amen. Doesn't mean they're always going to like it. They're not always going to throw you a party because you're a Jesus person. All right. He says, but I pray God that your whole spirit, that your spirit, notice lowercase s, whose spirit is he talking about here? Yours, ours. The spirit that is of man. I pray to God that your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. A lot of Christians, they make the mistake, they think that soul and spirit are the same thing. They are not the same thing, all right? Let's just real quickly go through that list in reverse. All right, how many of you brought your body with you tonight? We know what the body is, right? The body contacts the physical realm. Your body is sitting in that chair, right? It just contacts the physical realm. We know that. Your body, you know, can tell you, you know, the five senses, you know. It gives you sense knowledge, so to speak. But what's the soul and the difference between the soul and the spirit? Well, the Greek word that's used in this verse right here, the word soul means psuche, right? It's the Greek word psuche. It's where we get our English word for psychology or the mind of man. How many of you have a mind where thoughts happen and imaginations happen? Sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're very less than great. How many of you have a mind with thoughts and imaginations, sometimes good, sometimes bad? Come on now. All right? So you have a mind, all right? That's your soul. Your soul is also your will, your intellect, and your emotions, all right? It's the feelings of man. The soul is what contacts the emotional realm. When you're sad, when you're angry, all right, that's your soul. Your personality is connected to your soul, all right? Here's the good news, that your soul does get restored and does go to heaven with you. So you're going to be you in heaven. You know that? And that disappoints me. I don't want to be me anymore. I'm kidding, kind of. Praise the Lord, you know? But that's you'll have your personality. It'll just be cleaned up, so to speak. Not to say, you know what I mean by that. It'll just be the best form of your personality, all right? The soul is your mind, your will, and good things can happen. Emotions can be good, but emotions can be bad. How many of you know you can't trust emotions, right? Okay. You can't trust your emotions. Your emotions can press upon you to do something that God does not want you to do. Remember how Jesus' emotions in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, my soul is tormented. My soul is heavy. Remember when Jesus said this in Matthew 26? He said, my soul is heavy and full of sorrow. Remember this? He said, so much so that I feel like I could die. How many of you remember that? How many of you ever been there at a place in your life where your soul feels so heavy, it feels like you can die, right? And then Jesus prayed to the Father and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. His soul was trying to press him to ask God if he could just avoid the cross. Remember that? But Jesus said, not as I will, but as your will be done. And God's will was for him to go to that cross. And then remember what it said down there, it was verse 40 or 41. Then Jesus said, the spirit of man is willing, the flesh is weak. Remember that? Because the flesh will follow the lead of the emotions. You can't do things based on emotions. You got to put the emotions aside and listen to the candle of the Lord in your spirit. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit, all right? So your body contacts the physical realm, the soul contacts the emotional realm, and your spirit contacts who? God. Your spirit is in communication with God if we will be spirit conscious. Spirit conscious. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Yes. We need to start listening and training ourselves to listen to our spirit. When it's decision time, listen down here. When it's prayer time, listen down here. Don't listen up here. Be careful. Your brain is not a conductor for God. Now, again, you can hear from God in your spirit, and your spirit can help enlighten your thoughts. But you listen and hear. And we've got to train ourselves to do so. And when I say this, I'm not trying to boast. I was taught this over 20 years ago. And you know what? I was just, you know, willing enough to say, okay, I'll do that. I'll start listening down here every day of my life. I try, even if you have no idea, I'm trying to listen down here. I mean, oh my goodness. And I'll give you some examples here in just a little bit. But I'm here to tell you, we should become spirit conscious. So much that we're listening, all of a sudden we could hear God just whisper some little thing to us and we know exactly what he's talking about. And this is kind of a stretch of an illustration. It makes sense to me. I'm going to say it anyway. How many of you have ever had a dog? All right, anyone, any dog folks here? Well, I've had dogs. I grew up with dogs. I don't have any dogs right now because I have two beautiful cats that I just love with all my heart. So cats are the winners for me right now. I'm not, you know, praise the Lord. All right. I know people always say cat people are weird. Well, I guess we probably are. Well, praise the Lord. You know, but I've had dogs, grew up with dogs. How many of you have ever seen this with your dog? Like, you can be sitting there having a conversation. They're not interested. They hear what you're saying. They're not interested. They don't hear. But all of a sudden, the word walk comes out. Huh? You know, or maybe they don't. They hear blah, 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 treat. Huh? You know, and all of a sudden, or maybe the word outside, or, you know they learn certain things. Like, you're having a conversation, and probably in the ear of a dog, it's just like, brah, brah. It's kind of like Charlie Brown's teacher. How many remember Charlie Brown's teacher? Wah, 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 wah. And then all of a sudden, if you're a dog, you hear wah, 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 walk. Right? Because they know that word because they've literally been trained to listen for that word. In the same way, we can be trained in our spirit to listen for what God is saying in our lives. Why? Because we're constantly looking down here, so to speak. Constantly listening. When I pray, it's not just me blabbing to God, it's me listening too. Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to do? You know, and we're going to talk about what that's going to sound like, because I'm here to tell you that God's voice very rarely shows up in sentences in word form. We're going to talk about that. But we've got to be conscious about our spirit. Are you here? We've got to train ourselves. We've got to develop ourselves. Amen. How many of you know our spirit needs to be educated? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, my goodness. Am I going to get to everything I want to tonight? Probably not. Some of you say, well, Pastor, we know you. You'll just make sure you get to everything. Well, I'm going to try to be thoughtful and considerate of everybody here. But look at over there, Hebrews 4:12. Can you go over to Hebrews 4:12? Here's yet another verse that tells us that our spirit is different than our soul. Here is one way that you train your spirit, all right? You educate it with the Word of God. Your spirit must be fed the Word if it's ever going to hear God appropriately. Look at this. For the Word of God is what? Quick. That doesn't mean fast. That word quick there, if you have a modern translation, it means what, everybody? It means alive, that's right, or living. The Word of God is alive or living, and it is powerful. I like that word. Don't you like the word powerful? What is that power for? I'm here to tell you, it's for you. Amen. The Word is powerful. I mean, God already knows that. He is the Word. You know what I mean? But that power is for you and for I. Are you here? The Word is alive for who? For you. It's powerful for you. Sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Word of God pierces even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit. Now, the King James says dividing asunder. Isn't that poetic? We love the King James. It means to the dividing line, meaning that we know what the body is, right? We know what our body is, but we have a hard time understanding the difference between our spirit and our soul. Because the soul tries to imitate your spirit. You got to be careful about that. It tries to lead the way. Are you here? Okay. So the Word of God is the very device that gets down there and it divides. It draws a clear distinction between your soul and your spirit. So that you can finally stop wondering, is that me or is that God? How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever had ideas come to you and you're wondering, is that God? Or is that just me thinking that up? See, this is why we need the Word. Because when you know the Word, when you are fed, when the Word of God dwells richly in you, you'll know. You'll know that it's God's voice or not. Amen. Because it does what? It divides to the division line between soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. What is that? That's your body. It'll tell you the difference. between your mind and your flesh. And the Word is the discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. Well, I tell you what, we need the Word. Amen. So what does the Word do? The Word will train and educate your spirit to know what is God and what is just you up here in your mind. See, we need to be spirit conscious. Notice the soul and the spirit must be two different things if you can separate them with a line. All right? So I don't want to be living out of my soul. I can't live out of my soul. This brain is going to tell you things all the time that you should not do. It's going to give you bad ideas. How many of you have ever taken a bad idea from your brain? That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, it says, you know, do not be conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, because our minds cannot be trusted. That's why I'm not up here listening. I'm down here listening. Praise the Lord. Number one, spirit conscious. And now two, are you ready? Two and three are going to go faster than one. Are you ready? Go with me to Romans chapter 2. I want you to start seeing this. You know what? And if we have to come back next week, that's what we have next week for. I don't have to preach the everlasting gospel in one sitting. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. I want you to see something here. I want you to get a hold of this. Listen, you know, if you're here, you know, at this church and you're here for our programs, let me just tell you, like, our programs are the Word. That's the program of this church. It's the Word. You know, we're not going to have singles groups. We're not going to have, you know, sporting events. We're not going to have all this and that. We never will. But you know what we have here? We'll have the Word. We'll have the Word. And if you want to learn how to hear God and walk with Him and His plan for your life, it'll change you. It'll change you. The church won't change you, but the Word will. The Word will. Where did I tell you? Go to Romans 2:14. Look at this. Have you ever wondered what happens to people in this world? What happens to people who never hear about Jesus? What about all the people all throughout history who never heard the gospel? Maybe, you know, in the jungles of Africa or South America. What happens to those people? How will God judge them if they're never told about Jesus or never had a church? Do you know the scripture answers that question? And when we get the answer to that question, we'll really get to see how God speaks to us. Look at this. For when the Gentiles, that means non-Jewish people, all right, meaning, you know, the Gentiles who were not part of the Jewish covenant, when other people, meaning the other people of the world besides the Jews, which have not the law. How many of you remember the law of the Old Testament that told us what to do and what not to do, right? It says, but when they who don't have the law, or you can say it this way, they don't have the Word, all right, but they do by nature, just naturally, the things contained in the Word, these, even though they don't have the Word, are a law unto themselves. Isn't that interesting? Whoa. So somebody in the, you know, nowadays we don't have much of this, especially in our country. But what about those people in the dark places of the corners of this world who are never told or a missionary never gets to them? Well, they're now a law to themselves. What does that mean? How many of you see the colon there at the end of the verse? It's not done. Look at verse 15. It explains what happens. The law, it says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Wow. So now the Bible tells us that every human being that has ever been born on this earth has God's law written in their hearts, whether they ever hear a preacher or the name of Jesus or whoever. Listen. Now notice it says their conscience. Everyone say conscience. Their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts in their conscience, which is down here, like it's similar to your spirit, meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. Isn't that interesting? So what will happen someday with people that never heard about Jesus? They were in a dark place of the world. They never heard a preacher, never had a Bible. What happens? It says God will judge them according to their conscience.
meaning that there's something in the spirit of man that was talking to them, telling them that certain things were right or certain things were wrong. There's going to be people in heaven. Are you ready for this? There's going to be people in heaven someday that never, ever heard the name of God. They never knew Jesus. They never heard the name of Jesus. Now, it's far better for the gospel to get to them so that they can learn all that God has for them. But if they listened to their conscience and realized, you know what? I shouldn't kill that guy over there and take his chickens. You know, I shouldn't kill that guy and steal his hut or steal his wife or whatever it is. You know, I shouldn't attack them. I shouldn't do this. Something is on the inside of them telling them, hey, wait a minute. There's a reckoning day. There's some, you know, greater presence than me, and I shouldn't be doing these things. And there's going to be people who will be in heaven someday because they simply listened to their conscience when they had no preacher, they had no Bible, and they never heard about Jesus. Because their conscience will excuse them. Because they did right by what? Listening in here. Isn't that good of God? Isn't it? Now, someone says, well, then it would be better never to know Jesus, and we'll just, no, because it's risky to be in that situation. It's risky because you can't trust human nature, right? Human nature is sinful, but there are going to be people that said, wait a minute, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't kill this other man. There were plenty, I mean, in history, a lot of peaceful tribes, you know, some of them, you know, a lot of them were violent and so on. This continent, before Europeans ever showed up here, there was peaceful societies, but there was also violent societies. And probably the peaceful societies were just ones that were listening to a conscience. From that conscience came from God that they didn't know or understand. But they listened to it nonetheless and became a law to themselves, and God redeemed them. Isn't that good of God? What does that mean? It means that God is just and fair. He is a God of justice. He doesn't just look to throw somebody in hell. He wants them to be saved, and if they've never heard about Jesus, he gives them a conscience. Why am I bringing this up? Because this is the second most important thing you need to know. Number one, you've got to be spirit conscious, or spirit, you know, aware of your own spirit. But you have to understand your conscience. God, even when a human being has no external influence of God, they have no preacher, no Bible, no missionary, notice this, God is still speaking in their conscience. See, we have to know and understand your conscience, or also known as your spirit. If you're born again, your spirit is alive unto God. We need to listen to our conscience. Amen. The conscience, even somebody who's never heard the name of Jesus, their conscience will restrain them. Will say, man, I shouldn't do that. Or I shouldn't go that way. We call it in our society a gut feeling. How many of you have ever had a gut feeling save your life or tell you a way to go, right? Amen. That's your conscience. Go with me to 1 Timothy. Boy, a lot of scripture here tonight. You know, Pastor, I just wanted 3 points in a poem. I'm not teaching you 3 points in a poem. I'm going to teach you the Bible so that you'll actually face this life with knowledge. God said over there in Hosea 4:6, he said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because what we don't know hurts us, right? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, let's see. Is it verse 18? It's in that neighborhood. Go on over there. Praise the Lord. You know, for the sake of time, let's just skip right to verse 19. Praise the Lord. You know what? We have to go to verse 18. Just have to. Real quick. Just real quick. Paul says this to a young man named Timothy, who was a pastor. He said, this charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that which went before about you, that you by these prophecies would fight a good warfare, or a modern translation says, fight a good fight. Fight a good fight. How many of you know this faith, you know, that we're in with Christ? How many know you got a fight to keep it? How many know there's a fight going on? There's a real enemy. There's a real Satan. There's a real devil. You got to fight. Listen, if you think that Christianity is always going to make you comfortable, you're deceived. You know, if you think you're just always going to feel great about it, no.
Do you think a soldier on the battlefield? My grandfathers were both World War II combat veterans. One was a prisoner of war. The other was a Purple Heart, Bronze Star recipient, wounded, blown up, watches his friends die, all this stuff. Do you think they were sitting there saying, you know, boy, this sure feels good. Boy, we like this. No, he said, literally, and this is true, war is the closest thing to hell on earth that you will ever see. You know, and a soldier, somebody in a fight, we don't rely on our feelings. We keep fighting. We keep going forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. You just don't give up. Sometimes you're just down to the last point. You're just not giving up. Good for you. Have you ever been there before? Ever been down to the, you're just at that last level, just like right before you give up, and you just said, the only thing I'm doing right now, I'm just not giving up. Well, you don't give in, you win, right? But verse 19, he's talking about fighting a good fight. Holding faith. You got to keep the faith. You got to keep that obedience. You got to keep saying what God's word says. When the world says you're sick, you say, I'm healed. When the world tells you you're broke, you say, I'm rich. When the world tells you you're blind, you say, I can see. You just keep saying what the word says about you, even though there's no natural circumstance around you that tells you that that's true. You hold faith and what? A good conscience. A good conscience. Why do you got to keep, we would say it this way, a clear conscience. Meaning we've done nothing to violate God or somebody else. Right? Which some having put away, they put away a clear conscience. They stop listening to their conscience. This is talking to Christians. Christians are supposed to listen where? To our conscience. Some have put away their conscience concerning faith and have made what? Shipwreck. Shipwreck. Why? Because we're not listening in here. Your conscience is the voice of God in your life. Meaning, literally, God will speak to your conscience. He will lead you in your conscience. And how many of you know your conscience doesn't always hear words? Sometimes it's just understanding an unction or a direction or an inward witness, something on the inside telling you what to do, what direction to go. Are you here? Something on the inside telling you to forgive somebody. Something on the inside telling you let go of that offense. Something on the inside of you telling you don't lose your temper. Something on the inside telling you put down the booze or whatever vice that you need to get rid of. Holding faith in a clear conscience, which some have put away a clear conscience and made their lives shipwreck. How many of you know, since we're talking about sailing, let's talk about shipwrecks. Do you think there was ever any ship that said, you know what? On our way here, on this route, on our course, we're just going to hope for a shipwreck. I don't think they ever wanted that or desired that. But think about what a shipwreck is. A shipwreck is an interrupted destination. See, a shipwreck means that there was a ship that was on its way to somewhere good. It was on its way to a specific destination, but it never got to where it was intending to go. Instead, it crashed and was destroyed. And now the ship is sunk and the goods are lost, right? Are you here? We will not get to God's destination in our life if we aren't listening on the inside to our conscience. Our conscience has a voice. Our conscience is telling us, do this or don't do that. On the inside, we got to get rid of listening to this brain. You got to get out of this thing. You better get out of the soulish realm. It'll hurt you. You know, sometimes people have accused me, you know, Pastor, you're just not emotional enough. You know, it's like, well, I'm not trying to be emotional or have too much or too little. I'm not trying one way or the other. I'm not listening up here. My emotions don't tell me what to do. It doesn't matter if it feels good. It doesn't matter if it looks good, looks bad, or anything in between. I'm listening on the inside right here. Amen. And, you know, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert, into the wilderness. See, he must have been listening to his spirit. You know, what the Holy Ghost was saying to him. Because how many of you know the wilderness and the desert is not somewhere you would naturally want to go? What are you going to do if God leads you to or leads you through a difficult place? You know, sometimes we think, well, God would never, you know, lead me through, you know, somewhere difficult. Well, I'm here to tell you, he's not leading you to the devil, but he's leading you through him. You know, and sometimes along the way, trials arise, but what if you're just addicted to good feelings? What if everything just has to feel good all the time? What if you just in life, like everybody else in this world, you just demand happiness all the time? Listen, happiness is good, and we certainly like it, and God produces a lot of it. But what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? Listen to your spirit. Listen to what God's saying to do. Even if it means, I'm out in the wilderness. Well, maybe you're just on your way through that wilderness. Maybe there's some lessons in that wilderness we can get along the way. Jesus got some lessons along the way. But notice this, if we don't listen to our conscience on the inside, it will shipwreck us. Now, we're going to end right here. Are you ready? Here's the third and final one, the inner witness. First, we got to be spirit conscious. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to listen to our conscience was the second thing. And number three, we got to listen to the inner witness. Now, what does the voice of God sound like? Are you ready? This is going to be the best 3 minutes of the night. Are you ready? Here is what it sounds like in your life. Because what are you going to do? See, when you hear me say God's voice is talking to you, you think you're going to always hear words. You're always going to hear, you know, Heather, do this. Stephen, do that. Cindy, do this. Katie, do that, you know. You know, you don't always hear a phrase or a sentence. Sometimes God speaks in terms, it's not an emotional feeling, but he'll give you an unction. Let me explain what we're talking about. You got to remember this. It's called the inner witness. Let me just bring up some scriptures to help you understand. Can you bring up Colossians 3:15? You can just take a hold of this if you're wondering. Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of God what in your hearts? Rule. Oh, man. Do you have the Amplified Classic back there? Do we have the Amplified? Is it not the Classic? Is it just the... That's all right. Bring the regular one up, too. Let the peace... Yes, this is the one. Praise the Lord. Let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. What does it mean to rule? Act as an umpire continually. See, you don't have to hear words, but you've got to have peace on the inside before you make a decision. You need to understand peace is either the green light, that means go, or a lack of peace, which is a red light telling you, stop, don't do that. Oh my goodness, if Christians would listen to the umpire in their hearts. What does an umpire do? He calls balls and strikes, but he tells you if you're safe or if you're out. See, when you're making decisions in life, you need to go on the inside and not make any big decisions until you know the umpire has said that that's safe for you to do. Oh my goodness, let the umpire tell you in your heart, it's safe to do that. Look at what it says. Let the peace of Christ rule and act as an umpire in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality. Everyone say finality. All questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, all the questions in your life, let peace rule. The word rule means let it make decisions. Listen on the inside. Your conscience will either have peace about something or not peace about it. And it takes more than just 1 minute to figure that out. We got to seek God. Listen on the inside. Be spirit conscious. Listen to our conscience, right? And listen to that inward peace. Amen. Brother, can you bring up 1 John 2:27? Here's another scripture that talks about it. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. How many of you know you've gotten an anointing from God? Amen. And it says, and you need not that any man teach you. What he's referring there to is that there were people trying to deceive these Christians and trying to tell them that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. He said, he's saying, of course, we have teachers in the body of Christ. We have pastors that teach us. This is talking about outside deceivers. Okay? All right. People that are trying to deceive you. He says, but that same anointed teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie. What is that anointing? It's the unction of God. literally means the unction of God. And it's a truth and no lie. Even as it has taught you, even as it, that anointing, that unction on the inside of you, it will teach you, and you shall abide in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. How does the voice of God sound? It sounds like peace, right? It sounds like an unction. It sounds like an umpire. Let me see here. Is that safe or is that out? We can come and it can decide with all finality. Hey, this person, this new relationship, that's an out. That's not safe. Or this decision to leave my job or do this or do that. Sometimes it'll tell you, yeah, absolutely. And other times it'll be like, nope. And I will tell you this. For whatever reason, I heard Pastor Michael say it recently. It's absolutely true. For whatever reason, God seems to lead more by stop signs than green lights. He'll just, so many times, we see this in the Word. Remember when Paul and the apostles were going into Asia and Paul said, I was determined to go into Asia to preach the gospel, but the Holy Ghost forbid him? Notice Paul was trying to do something good. He's like, I want to go preach in Asia. And the Holy Ghost said, nope, go this way instead. Remember that in the book of Acts? Maybe I'll teach on that soon. There's a lot of examples like that. See, there was just something in his heart. He said, no, I'm not allowed to go that way. Oh my goodness, there's so many things I've wanted to do in ministry. Oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And the Holy Ghost says, nope, no, you're not. Oh, we're going to do this. You've probably even heard me say about some things before. You've ever wondered why a pastor can get real, zealous about, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and all of a sudden you're wondering, where did those things go? Let me tell you where they went. They got before God, and God says, no, you're not. Oh, there's so many things I would do. Oh, there's so many decisions I would love to make. But for whatever reason, God says, no. And you better listen to that, because that's true, and it's no lie. Oh my goodness, and I'll end with this story. I had a bunch of stories planned for you, but I've already taken way too much time. There was this gentleman in Family Church Jamestown many years ago. He was an usher in our church. His name was Jared. Young man, of course, this is probably, 16 years ago. This is a while ago. How many remember, you probably remember, it's not that long ago. How many remember there was a plane crash up in Buffalo? How many remember it was Continental, 3432, 3450 or whatever, 3480? It was that big prop plane. Remember, there was probably 50 or 60 people on it, and as they were in the final approach coming into Buffalo Airport, they stalled, crashed, and everybody on it died. This was, 15, 16, 17, 18 years ago, something like that. So there was an usher in the Jamestown church. He came up to me and he says, Pastor, I got to tell you something. He's like, have you seen the news and the plane crash in Cheektowaga? Remember, it killed somebody on the ground, too. It crashed right into a house. And it killed everybody, pilots, everybody. And then one person just sitting in their living room and the plane crashed into their home. And Jared, and I didn't know this, at the time, but he's like, did you see that on TV, the airplane that crashed in Buffalo? I said, yeah, I sure did. He said, look at this. And he held up a ticket for that flight. He's like, Pastor, I got to tell you the story. He's like, I was there. It was in the Newark airport. He was in New York City for some job training. And they had, finished the time and they took him to the airport, dropped him off. He said, I had hours before my flight. And I was sitting there and, was doing all this. And he's like, all of a sudden, I just started to have this feeling on the inside, change that flight. Change that flight. He said, I went up to the counter and I said, do you have any, this is what he's telling me, by the way. He says, do you happen to have any other flights going to Buffalo? And they said, well, there's only one and there's only a couple seats left. You can get on that flight right now if you want, but you're going to have to run to get there. Your luggage cannot go with you. It's going to cost you $250 for the upcharge. So in every way possible, it did not seem like a good idea. He's like, what's the matter if I just sit around for a couple more hours before my original flight? He's like, everything on the inside of me told me, pay the money, get my luggage on time, get on that airplane. He got on that airplane, the one, he said, I had to run through the concourse. He said, they were holding the plane just for me. I ran up. My luggage couldn't even come on with me. They said they would just put it on the next plane, which I'm not sure if that was the one that actually crashed or it was a different one. But he got on that plane with none of his stuff, paying all this extra money. He said, you know, I heard the news when I got home later that night. The plane that I was scheduled to be on crashed and everyone died on it. This was a guy in the Jamestown church. And he said, and I had him share that testimony in front of the church with his ticket that had that, because just a couple of months before, I was teaching on this exact same stuff that you heard tonight. And he listened to the guide on the inside. It made no natural sense to do it, but it saved his life. See, shipwreck, that was literally a plane wreck would have taken him out. And he eventually, you know, had a wife and several kids. Folks, I believe the Holy Ghost is taking us around danger. He's leading us and guiding us into the reality that he has for us. Did you get something out of this here tonight? I packed it all in because I thought it would just feel, you know, wrong to leave that hanging until next week. Are you listening to the umpire on the inside? Is he saying safe or is he saying out? If he says out, don't do that. Right? He says it's safe. Listen to that piece. Father God, we just love you and praise you. Father, you are so faithful and good. Father, we want to be spirit conscious. Father, you have given us a spirit that communicates with your spirit. Father, you've given us a conscience on the inside to listen to our conscience. And Father, you said to let peace in our hearts rule and act like an umpire. Deciding with finality all questions that come against us. We've got an unction from the Holy One. We've got an anointing. And that unction teaches us. That unction leads us and guides us. Father, you said as many as are led by your Spirit, we are the sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord. We can listen on the inside. The question is, are we going to decide to listen? Are we going to train ourselves to listen in our spirit and not just be subject to the thoughts in our minds? Father, we praise you tonight. We glorify you, Father. We have an unction. It's the truth. It is no lie. You are so faithful and good. With all eyes closed, heads bowed, before we are dismissed, please ask yourself this question in your conscience. So you can ask yourself this question deep in your heart. Ask yourself, am I born again? Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says, if you'll declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God wants to save you. Save you from what? Your own sins. He wants to save you from hell. The good news is there's a heaven. Ask yourself, if something on the inside, if that umpire on the inside feels like, man, I feel like he's telling me I'm out. Well, then get saved. Get saved, get saved. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Take him as your Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front or anything like that. But if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand for 1 second. If something down in your spirit, your conscience, yeah, I see that hand in that hand. You can put them down. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. See? See, what that is that you just went to your conscience. You went to the spirit of man. You asked yourself down there in your belly, so to speak. Anybody else, they'd say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I just know on the inside of my heart, I need to be saved. Well, respond to that. Is there anybody else before we pray? Lift your hand. Just take that step towards God. I'm not going to make a spectacle of you. God loves you. Praise the Lord. We had several hands. Let's all pray this prayer. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm going to lead this entire congregation in a prayer. Pray these words out of your mouth. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Mean it with your heart. We'll all just be praying the same prayer right along with you, and God will hear you. Just go ahead and pray this. Let's all pray this together. Everyone pray with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Folks, isn't it awesome to see people receiving Christ? I mean, there's nothing better in the world than that. And we just, of course, we're happy for you, you know, and we just tell you, if you just made Jesus your Lord, get trained up in the things of God. We'd love to help you with that. Hey, I want to just give a real quick testimony. I know this seems totally unassociated. I'm just, you know, thrilled and I'm just grateful. You know, when I showed up here tonight, I injured my foot. And earlier this afternoon, I was thinking to myself, how am I going to go to church? Like, I couldn't hardly step on it. I told my wife, I said, maybe I'll have to put a chair, you know, up on the platform and just sit there in the chair. And then, you know, I strapped on these real tight dress shoes. It seemed to help just a little bit. I was walking in, and I'm not one to try to, you know, bring attention or whatever. But, I mean, it felt like a knife was being stabbed into my foot every time. And I was telling Reverend Chris in my office, you know, and it was just fun. My wife and I, when we were on the way to church, you know, we just prayed and agreed that, you know, while I was preaching, that the anointing of God would show up and help. And I'm just so grateful. I mean, it's completely gone. It's just, I'm just so glad. I'm so glad. Like, it was about, I don't know, it was about 5-10 minutes into preaching, and it was still there. And I was just kind of gingerly, like, taking some steps. And then all of a sudden, a couple minutes later, it completely lifted. All day today, I had this big, I guess there's a big tendon on the side of your foot. I'm not familiar with it or whatever. But it was so inflamed that it was like I had this big, like, bruised stripe all along the back side of my foot. I don't even know what I did with it. But I'm just so grateful for God. I mean, you know, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give him all the glory. Father God, we just praise you. We glorify you, Father. You are faithful. You are good. Thank you, Lord, for those that have made Jesus their Lord and Savior. Thank you that the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. We can be spirit conscious. We can listen to our conscience. Father God, we thank you. We can let peace rule in our hearts. Father, we praise you. And Father God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shout in. Amen. You are dismissed.